This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 12th of January, 1953. The title of this lecture is Anchor Points, Driving Them In and Out. This lecture is 33 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
This is the third consecutive evening lecture, January the 12th. This succeeds the Philadelphia lecture of December the 9th. These three lectures tonight succeed that lecture. All right. Now, we talked about driving in anchor points and pulling them out again and driving them in again and pulling them out, driving them in. And if you want to find the most aberrated person in your pre-clear current life track, all you've got to do is find who gave him the worst news, Hawkness. That's all. And on that person, you'll have a complete occlusion. How do you solve that occlusion? Very simple. You just get your pre-clear to sit there and be as occluded as he wants to be and imagine this person out in front of him someplace, not seeing him, but just getting the concept the person's out there someplace with a cricket bat knocking in anchor points. Don't bother with concepts or ideas. Just have anchor points being knocked in. Just get the idea that somebody out there is bonging in a flock of bright balls or something of the sort. Bang, bang, bang. And have him get the idea these balls are arriving in the vicinity of his own face and his own head. Just keep this up. Keep this up. Have the person going 360 degrees in the sphere around him, knocking in these bright points. Just have this person walk around him and walk around him and do this and do this and do this. And what do you know? This person will show up. Interesting, isn't it? Person will all of a sudden show up. And then you can build that person as a mock-up. You can build their shoes and build the whole body, or you can just keep up this other system. Now you can also have this person leading out anchor points. Get the idea of this person leading out anchor points and driving them in and leading them out, and then when they're out, changing them onto something or other, and you get some very interesting material. There's a more interesting way to go about this, which is what I'm going to cover in this hour. And you want to know why Papa's death got occluded. Why this happened, and why that happened, and why something else happened. Why your pre-clear can't do this, and why you can't do that. Well, that's why, that's all. Driven in anchor points and let out anchor points, and driven in anchor points and let out anchor points. By the way, you'll get some of the fanciest somatics if you ever run one of these things. You'll get some real beauties, gorgeous somatics. Come on. He gets sick in his stomach, and he gets all upset in every way you can think of. Well, there is occlusion. Now, the wide-open case is evidently one which just has a nastier method of keeping his anchor points from being driven in. It's not very workable, because those cases nearly wind up, always wind up sooner or later as being very occluded, but they just have an ornerier method of combating this anchor point driving mechanism. So your wide-open case normally has this lifetime in pretty good shape in terms of facsimiles. He's just too mean. Now, not saner or anything of the sort. This person has had less anchor point drive-in. Now, everything we've said about cycles, we go down to help. You know, propitiation and that sort of thing and so on. Well, that's just on this level. The person gets to the idea finally where he can't monitor his own anchor point, so he's got to help. But what? The whole bottom of the scale is a mockery of the top of the scale. Any big, brawny Thetan would help. See, so DEI goes downscale, all these various things go downscale, and we get to the bottom of the scale, we find this big mockery. Actually, when you get a person like this doing any help, run a mile, because they're not going to help you very much. A person who is very low tone scale, they say, we're going to help you out. It's synonymous with we're going to slit your throat, fella. Because they're running on reverse vectors. So, what do we get then as we examine this whole problem? We get this DEI cycle of anchor points, and that is space. And the handling of anchor points eventually gets into energy. You want to know why some pre-clears can't put out energy. Actually, if they put out energy, you'd find it kind of thick. It would be very thick to them. It wouldn't be filming. The reason it's very thick is their anchor points have been driven in so hard that the energy points actually energy. You see, it's merely composed of flocks of small particles, have been driven close together, and the beam is unwieldy. You see, any Thetan can develop points of any kind he wants to. And very often your precursor has been driven in to a state where he can no longer produce energy. And being unable to produce energy, you see, he tries to go back up to the top of the scale again, and he doesn't much succeed. Your Thetan is probably monitoring, just in terms of neurons only, 10 to the 21st binary digits of Thetans. What's the reactive mind? What's an entity? Why aren't they stuck on the time track? All this sort of thing. You'll find the same story out of the bank. The big trick of anybody monitoring this universe and so forth is to lead out the anchor points. Great big, all what they're going to have, and then drive them in real tight. Right quick. Now let's look at this from the standpoint of vacuum. Once upon a time, they said nature abhorred a vacuum. That's a good enough definition for you. We don't care.
About resolving pressures.
Actually, a vacuum is caused by inequalities of pressure. Let's take a gas. You can have a vacuum in the middle of a gas simply by having gas all around at a pressure, and then no gas fixed up so no gas can fill up the point where there is no gas. And you get a pressure in toward the point where there is no gas. You get the idea? Suppose you got 15 pounds per square inch on you at this moment. How would you become a vacuum? Just have no pounds per square inch inside of you and have 15 pounds per square inch outside of you, and believe me, you'd squash awfully quick. Because you see, the reason there isn't an atmospheric vacuum inside of you is very simple. You just have as much inside as you have outside, and it balances. And the reason why you don't have a vacuum in a milk bottle is because there's 15 pounds per square inch inside the milk bottle and 15 pounds per square inch outside the milk bottle. If you want to have a vacuum inside the milk bottle, you have 15 pounds per square inch outside the milk bottle, and you take all the air out of the milk bottle. You'd have a vacuum then, you see. And that vacuum is simply a relative matter. It just means there's more pressure someplace else than there is where the vacuum is. Nature abhors a vacuum. You find out vacuums operating as these particles go by. A particle goes by, creates a vacuum behind, and things try to fill in the vacuum. These dark particles then come across the area where there's a vacuum. Now, there's a thing called on the track, you might call it the birth of a Thetan. One of his many births. It's no more birth than anything, but probably birth latches up on top of it. You could say two Thetans got together and they push each other apart real hard. They push anchor points together and they just shut out real far. And there's a bang in the center of the resulting rectangle. You see, here'd be your Thetan here on the graph, point A and B, and here'd be another Thetan over here with coinciding anchor points. And if these two things were first close together and then they pushed apart and stretched out their anchor points, and if they did it fairly rapidly, you would get a very interesting condition resulting here in the center of that rectangle. And that resulting condition would be a vacuum. They would shove each other apart so hard that the particles would come in their direction. And there would leave no particles in the center. This would be a vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. I don't know who nature is, by the way. I'm going to ask somebody to introduce me tonight. Now, where we have, then, a vacuum, energy has a terrific tendency to fill the vacuum. When you've got Thetan, who's supposed to be making postulates, who gets the idea that he is a vacuum, when he gets the idea that he obeys the laws of energy, then he tries to fill vacuums. Isn't this fascinating? So we got a big pink cloud, and we got a lightning bolt through it. When that lightning bolt hit, it made a compression wave out. And then the lightning bolt was gone, and it left What in the middle of the pot? Left a vacuum. Your thetan tries to fill that vacuum. Just because energy fills the vacuum, not because thetans want to fill vacuums. So as long as the thetan stays in close obedience to the laws of energy or agreement with the messed universe, same thing, he'll try to fill vacuums. Now, there's something about sensation. Sensation gives one a terrific boost and all that sort of thing, evidently, and the exhilaration actually is the exhilaration of more space. This goes back on the track to obedience to these anchor points again. You get enough anchor points far enough out, swoosh, and you get a sensation of lots of space, which is just fine. Well, that's interesting, because sensation is your first level of desirable energy. Now, there are other ways of getting sensation besides this, but if they don't get trapped into this, why, he'll become actually insatiable in terms of energy. You'll have an awful lot of pre-clears around who will run in grams just because they sort of taste good. That's right. They're energy happy. There are points on the track where you just mock this one up. Energy used to be presented to thetans to keep them in line with little red capsules. Get a red capsule right now and see what happens to them. Either you didn't get one or it moved in so quick you could hardly see it. Now, the point is, the thetan used to get inside of balls of energy, red capsules, give and take, which we will cover during these night lectures very thoroughly, which are covered in Philadelphia tapes, very definitely is based on one thing, thirst for energy, because all things are space and energy. Well, it first starts then with a thirst for space, and that is very interesting, because it tells you that on this subject of vacuums, the thetan first begins to believe he's a vacuum. After that, he goes around hunting for his identity. Wasn't that dopey? I mean, here he is, a big cloudy beingness that hasn't, they're just happy as could be. It hasn't got any name, no, doesn't need anything. Just happy, rolling around, enjoying life. All of a sudden, somebody comes along and decides to make it get born, which is to say, create a vacuum in the center. Or a lightning bolt goes through it, one way or the other, and creates a vacuum in the center. And after that, this fellow says, there used to be something in the center, so he started to fill up the center. Well, his anxiety to fill up the center will eventually give him the idea that the center is himself. So he thinks he has to be in the middle of his bank. He has to be in the center of concentric energy circles. He has to be there. He can be driven out of the center. He goes into the center of a head. He's energy happy. But that is basically above energy. He's just obeying the laws of energy. When you get into this sort of thing, it's a study of vacuums. Fascinating, isn't it? Why is a fellow too fat? Why is a fellow too thin? What's a give case, what's a take case, and everything else? It's a study of vacuums. You want to study sex? I'm sorry to have to introduce this ugly subject, but it's a study of vacuums. He's trying to fill up a vacuum. That's all. That's all there is to it. You want to know why guys breathe? Well, the cells which go to make up his lungs? Very simple matter. They didn't get enough air once. Or they're so horrified of air that they keep shuddering back from air, and so they keep breathing. They make up cells that have to do with air. Every cell is the center of it. It's a vacuum. It's trying to fill itself up. You get this study of interlocking vacuums, and you've got one of the most interesting studies that anybody wanted to engage on, because down from this point, you can figure out practically anything you want to figure out. Study of a vacuum. He's got a pre-clear, he's got bad teeth. He's trying to fill up a vacuum. Because why are those teeth in that condition? Well, the more solid a thing is, the more valuable it is. Look that over. Diamonds, emeralds. The rarer it is, has something to do with it. Interest, other things, the amount of light it contains, space occupied. But that's he can lay interest on anything. He can be interested in dog harnesses as well as he can be interested in diamonds. But teeth, they're hard, white. Boy, if you don't think those are special entities all by themselves, just run the exercise of putting food in their vicinity. They die. They leave corpses behind. They do all sorts of things. Guy has his teeth aching.
The centers of those teeth are vacuoles.
And it can't get anything into the vacuum, but it thinks it wants food. Actually, it has a horror of food, so therefore it must have food. Reverse flow, you see? To get something in a terrible desire level, it must have a horror of what it's going to get when it gets down as small as a cell. So just start stuffing the guy's mouth full of mock-up biscuits and mock-up chicken and mock-up honey and mock-up milk. And what do you find out? You'll find out the first crack out of the box, if his teeth are hurting, he probably won't be able to put any milk in his mouth. He can get a glass of milk there. Yeah, he can mock up this glass of milk, and then you say, now drink it. It won't come anywhere near his mouth. Well, you'll find out, by the way, that he will pour the milk down the sink. He will bust it up and cover the streets with it. Before he'll just waste it. Do anything with it before he'll finally drink it. You finally work him to the point of throwing away milk and giving away milk and getting more milk and testing the value of milk and finally having enough milk to give all the other people in the house, and finally you're getting to take one drop of milk. Well, what happens when you finally finish this cycle? Teeth stop aching. What do teeth get in them? They get holes. All right. You just start filling the guy any part of the body. Here's a wonderful technique. By the way, just with the mock-ups, you just find out what the knee wants. Well, what's the knee want? It's a scarcity of some sort, which the knee is all upset about. You'll find out the knee probably wants a basketball, or it wants something of the sort. You could grab an e-meter and start asking his knee, well, what do you want? Of course, it's silly. It really doesn't want anything. It wants to fill a vacuum. But it's got some sort of evaluation on what vacuum it's trying to fill with what. And that's the trouble with it. It thinks you have to know what to fill a vacuum with before you can do anything with it. And that's nutty, by the way. That's reason. A vacuum is a vacuum. And the criterion, the overhanging level of theta, is the only thing that says what it's to be filled with. But it will be based on some actual experience of scarcity. So what do? You just keep mocking up this object and having him give it away and throw it away and give it to other people or give it to himself, or keep stuffing these mock-ups. And finally you get to a point where you can stuff these mock-ups into the area, and what do you know? What happens? The bomb. Knee goes away. It's not a bad knee anymore. Very fascinating. That little technique, that's give and take. You'll get that, lots of that. It's on the Philadelphia lectures. The knee plus ultra. I'm just giving you more data on it right now. So, we have then the preclear's idea that he has to get into the middle, the center. Because the center's the vacuum, and the vacuum is what's valuable, and that's what's got to be filled, and he's got to be filled, and that's what he's got to have in the vacuum, and that's want. That's need. Or, he almost never does this, try to unload an overfilled hole. He's got an overfilled piece of space and he wants to get something out of it. You might say life consists of bailing out places that are too full and filling places that are too empty. Life seems to have an ambition of establishing some sort of a noxious mean. Until you examine the fact that the only interest level there is put on anything is put on by life. It's just a game it plays. It's a game called fill the hole and empty the hole. You get some fancy somatics, just get this concept for a moment. All right, now let's empty this empty hole. You can strain at that for a little while, and you're liable to get some very horrible headaches and things like that. Now, the reason why some of your preclears can't get out of their heads easily, why they disperse all over the place, it's simply a matter of too much in a place or too little in a place. That's all. I don't care too much of what or too little of what. They think that the center is so crowded they can't occupy it anymore, and this becomes a problem of valences. And let me call you back your attention to Diner's Modern Science and Mental Health with its statement and releases on the subject of valences. And these valences never had really a good solution till now. We call them later life continuum. We call them all sorts of things. Now I'm going to tell you right now, in about 2 minutes, how to solve a valence. You better get this one done because you use this one. So you can read all about this in self-analysis in terms of he doesn't want to be liked, you see, is the word used for admire, and dislike is not admire. That's interesting, isn't it? The fellow wants to be like his friends and unlike his enemies. So you go up and down the track and find all the people that he wouldn't like to be like. You won't find very many. And then you mock up these people and you make them do the things he likes to do. This will practically kill him, by the way. He'll have an awful time with this. You'll have to enter it on a gradient scale in many cases. He had this person he just thoroughly detested. This person that he would just murder on sight, he says. So what do? You have him mock up this person and then have this person do all the things which he identifies as his own tricks. You know, you have Joe mock up this detested person, Bill, and you have Joe then mock Bill up, eating and sleeping and going out with Joe's wife and all these sort of things, and using his little mannerisms and tricks of speech and so on. And he'll watch this door. By the way, it'll practically knock him out. He'll probably go out like a light. Now, what's the next thing you do to it? You make him mock up right where he is and right where his body is, the enemy's body. And have himself doing. You see, it's a mock up. Instead of this body, you sort of unmock, you know? You unmock, you might say, the body he has, and he's put in its place, male or female, this body he detests. And you have this body doing all the things and being butchered by the antagonist, by the way, himself. You can have this fellow say, let's say you've got this briefly, now let me be very specific about this. You mock him up in terms of enemies. You have him mock up himself as the enemy and mock up the enemy as himself. Just reverse it, you see. And make it noticeably so, and have the enemy do all the things he likes to do, and then have him do all the things which he hates in the enemy. Just mock himself up going through all these actions. This will turn on a very interesting array of facsimiles. I'll give you the reason for this in just a moment. You don't have to worry about the facsimiles. You just follow the mock-up line. Make it as further and further differentiated as you can after he first gets the idea. Now, let's have him do the same thing with friends, because that's actually desire on the line. Have him mock up his friends doing all the things he likes to do, and have him mock himself up as his friends doing all the things they like to do. And by the way, you'll find out that this is a very much faster process than it would assume, because what do you find? You'll find some friend of his has developed a couple of his mannerisms, and you'll just have that friend do those mannerisms. You see, as his body. You get the idea. You mock up the friend as the friend. Your friend Claire always had the idea of standing around, kind of sticking his fingers under his coat lapel. Just mock up these enemies and friends of his who stand around with their thumbs under their coat lapels. It'll drive him nuts, by the way. He doesn't like it, goes mad. What are they doing? They're occupying the vacuum, the center of the bank. Why can't this pre-clear get to his facsimiles? Because he's not in the middle of his bank. He can't read his ridges. He can't get the flows in straight. He's running on circuits from all sides. He doesn't know whether he's going or coming. He isn't even vaguely in the middle of the bank. Why isn't he there? Because he's being occupied by other people. He's no longer himself. An enemy is now him. So he has to hate himself. Here's valences and here's life continuum. This is the way you solve it. Honest, it's too easy. It shouldn't happen to you. It's just too doggone easy. You mock it up, you'll find out that the most effective mock-ups you get is when he mock-ups somebody he detests, you know, puts on their body as a mock-up, and then has himself being butchered by his own body, mocked up there in front of him, you see? Yeah, you mock up himself out here in front, and then mock up himself as the people he's been mean to. And you have this enemy feeling so sad and thinking all the thoughts the enemy thought at the time it was being argued at, kicked around by himself. Can you follow that? In short, you've got him re-experiencing all of the mean things he has done to others. You've turned around the overt act motivator phenomenon, and that is the way to solve it, and it solves it very rapidly. Quite important as a technique, because this one will blow loose more off of the track and straighten the fellow out faster than anything else except what you'll get on these tapes known as GITA, give and take process, which is filling the vacuum. So the vacuum is the center, and he should be in the center, but he can't be in the center of his bank. He can't be over here in the middle of his bank. He's way off to the edge. Now you ask him to get out of his head. Well, he should be in the center of his bank, but he's really in his head, but he's not in the center of his bank. He gets driven out to a point where his own anchor points are dispersed way out there. He's running away, and he's got his anchor points clear out on the 185th thousandth ridge, sitting out near the horizon someplace. He's not near the middle of that bank. Why can't he be in the middle of the bank? Because all of his enemies are sitting in the middle of the bank. They've all imitated him. His thirst for identity is such. You can always find the middle of a guy's bank and try to move him into it. By the way, you just find the spot everything flies to. Get a mock-up, it goes out over there to the right someplace. And there'll be a hole. There's a hole over there. That's the middle of some past bank. You can fill it up if you want to. Nothing will fly into it anymore. What do you fill it up with? Well, I tell you, to solve this anchor point proposition, the fellow has to be able to advance anchor points into everything he detests and to withdraw anchor points from everything he wants. He has to be able to do both of these things. He has to be able to advance anchor points completely relaxably in the face of everything detested and everything desired, and pull in anchor points in the face of everything detested and everything desired. You would be amazed at some of the mock-ups that some auditors over in Philadelphia managed to get mocked up and get people to do. Every once in a while, the people would say, well, it's only a mock-up, and then the auditors start pouring on the coal. That's right. All right, now get this drunk staggering out of the Piccadilly bar. You got him there? Now get him dreadfully sick at his stomach. Oh, no. Come on, you said it was just a mock-up. Now, let's get him dreadfully. Okay, now eat it. You'd be surprised. The fellow just goes into practically convulsions for a few minutes, and then all of a sudden, so what? And he feels a lot better. Why? He drew in his anchor points away from detested things. There actually isn't any such thing as a detested thing except somebody's idea. So he's dragging in his anchor points away from chimera, from pure bunk. People say, this is bad, and that's bad, and something else is bad, and something else is bad, and something else is bad. So each time he's pulling these anchor points away from these points. So therefore he can't advance it out. And he gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and he gets smaller and smaller in exact ratio to the number of things he detests. And he tries to get bigger in ratio to the number of things he desires. And so there's your give and take on anchor points. Very fascinating technique. The filling up of a vacuum or the emptying out of a vacuum. You'll find out that the fellow can take food out of his teeth by the hour. He can take all sorts of horribly detestable things out of his teeth by the hour. And boy, he gets some of the fanciest somatics you ever heard of. He could probably take one tooth and rehabilitate a thetan. Somebody came around to me at night and told me somebody was developing a growth that was supposed to have been cured. The growth keeps getting bigger. Sure, the growth's putting out its anchor points. That's all. You want to get rid of the growth? Drive them in. Mock-ups. Just put mock-ups there, right there, and you'll solve it. What kind of mock-ups? Well, those Thetans have got to relieve themselves one way or the other, too much in or too much out, or something of the sort. So this give and take processing right in that area will solve that case. All right. Now, when we talk about valences, the fellow, of course, is... He hasn't got any center to put any of the anchor points out from. Why? The center's being occupied by somebody else, so this is the most aberrative thing there could be, isn't it? He can't be in his own bank, so he can't even run his own engrams. He's done. How do we solve this? We just give him locks of the other person doing all the things he wants to be and do, and we just scramble up identities by having everybody be him and him be everybody. And we do it in this orderly fashion, and we've got the thing solved. Nothing much to this. This problem falls apart in your hands. You can take an E-meter and scout this down in a pre-clear fairly rapidly. Or you can simply ask him, who can't you see? And you find out who he can't see? That's the person that was driving in his anchor points. That's all there is to it. Now you can mock up that person without him even seeing that person. Have him knock in these anchor points or mock up that person doing the things if he can see them. Eventually, doing the things he wants to be and do. And the person will occupy the center of his bank, and he'll get out of these past engrams. He's trying to find his identity all the way up and down the track, and the big joke is he has no identity. The identity is a vacuum. He's trying to find out who he was. In other words, he's trying to find out who people told him he could be. That's a great way to look at it, isn't it? Actually, his greatest individuality is his oneness with all. So to speak, and that's a big individuality. He can go up tone scale and hit that, and then he doesn't have to be named Joe anymore, so he can tell himself apart from other people. The end product of all individuality, really as classified today and termed identity, is a self, and that's mighty small, and I know you don't want to be one, and so I will wish you a very good night.